One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by a BAFTA winner. You get the sense, soon to be an Oscar winner, Leslie Patterson. It's some story of how...
A high achiever, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. All Quiet on the Western Front. It was her passion project. She somehow got it made and the gongs are coming in thick and fast. Yeah, but excellent. She's a... world champion triathlete as well, so more on that. Andy Smart joined us. Once again, it was the upwards and downers game in Ashbourne for Shrovetide Tuesday. So you'll
hear
from
Andy. It's a good sport.
We had a very, very exciting celebrity combination lock today.
What about it, Paul?
One for the ages. And what else did we do today?
We had all sorts
Yes, we spoke to a Newcastle fan whose dog ate his cup final tickets for this weekend. So I think that'll do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul.
If you can understand what's going on in Ashbourne in Derbyshire, you really do need to set the scene. We kind of told you everything that's coming up in the show just before the news and sports, so you've got a handle on that. There's plenty to come. Champions League, of course. But there's two lots of live sport we'll keep you in touch with this afternoon. England's women playing in a T20 World Cup game against Pakistan. And we'll have regular updates from Georgie Heath. But also, as we said, we're going to be right across this. It's Pancake Day, Shrovetide Tuesday, and every year Andy Smart, ball runner, comedy store player, cheese chaser, heads to Ashbourne in Derbyshire. He was there last night. They had the big dinner. They had the big Shrovetide Tuesday pre-match dinner. It is, they play through the village of Ashbourne.
Yeah.
It is 400 aside. It's the upwards and the downwards. There's a relevance to that, and we'll be chatting to Andy very shortly. He plays in it every year, so he's right in the thick of it, in the hug, which is the vicinity of the ball. Look, I'm trying to teach you the jargon because I've listened to Andy play it every year. He gets some quite amazing commentary when he's in. He's like a war correspondent.
I remember it last year. I'm quite sure last year was the year he touched the ball for the first time ever.
Andy Smart, as we said, comedy store player, ball runner, cheese chaser, cresta runner, taking on another mad feat today in Ashbourne. Hi, Andy.
Hi, boys.
So, it's worth giving a little tiny bit of history to this. When does it date back to?
Well, there's a lot of people suggesting it goes back to about 1200. Back in the 13th century, it would have been played pretty much the same way as it's played today. The ball can be carried or kicked, or it's a large oak. It's cork, made of cork.
Oh, blimey,
oak would be exciting.
Oak would be a bit heavy.
Yeah.
Well, it is actually very. I did actually try and kick it once and nearly break my foot on it. It'd been in the river and it soaked up quite a lot of water. It was very heavy. It's very dry up. It's probably the driest I've ever played a game up here. The new thing here is they've got a new plinth for throwing the ball up, which they've built in the middle of Shawcross car park. It used to be at one end of Shawcross car park, which sort of gave the upwards a bit of an advantage at the start of the game.
What are the upwards and the downwards? The relevance of that is what, Andy? Explain briefly.
If you're born to the north of the River Henmore, you're an uppard. If you're born south of the river, you're a downard.
And as a guest player, what's the expectation for you? What team do you play in?
I'm a downard because I was born in Portsmouth, so that's way south.
Of course,
yeah,
it's very much
down. Yeah,
that's right. You've just had a lunch. You have the Shrovetide pre-match meal.
Yeah, the brown Windsor soup and the roast lamb. Yeah, the ball's being thrown up today by Paul Cook, who's a member of the NFU, the local farmers union.
Right.
It's a great honour to throw the ball up. The balls are actually worth, if you score a goal, you're allowed to keep the ball, and they're worth up to £1,000 each.
Wow.
So, Yeah.
And you play right through the village, don't you? You play right through Ashbourne. Yeah,
the goals are sort of a mile and a half either side of the village. So the pitch is 3 miles long, and they throw the first ball up at 2 o'clock. If there's no goal scored by 10 o'clock, then the police confiscate the ball.
Oh.
If there's a goal scored before 5:30, they throw another ball up. So you can get two goals in a day.
It's normally quite a low-scoring affair, isn't it? Over the years, I think we may have had a 2-1. I think that's as high as it's ever got.
You've never had more than 2-0, no.
Right, dear.
How do we start the campaign to get you to be able to throw the ball in the air, Andy? You've given them a lot of advertising over the years. I think it'd be quite a good thing.
No. I'm not local enough.
It's a local game for local people.
You'll never be
it
local.
It's a local game, but yeah. Prince Charles has done it, and I saw Geoffrey Boycott's thrown the ball up, and Brian Clough's thrown the ball up once.
Wow. Okay. So there's an anthem, I understand. When you had your lunch just now, there's a Shrovetide anthem that was sung. It was written in 1891, it says. To raise funds to pay for the fines for playing the game in the street. There are buckets, there are people collecting money because people's gardens get trashed.
Oh, right, yeah. So
it can happen. They try not to, but it can happen, can't it?
It can happen. And they do have a lot of the players, the ones that are joiners and carpenters and glaziers, any damage that gets done will be fixed by the weekend.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
If I had a bit wrong in my house and I was on that, I'd smash a few.
That's true. You'd invite them in, wouldn't you? You'd have a sign.
I'd break a few things before.
Yeah, get them to come into your old
knackered. Look what's happened here.
Get them to come into your old knackered lean-to that's just held together with gaffer tape, and then they build you a proper conservatory.
Loft conversion.
That's it. So, Andy, we're going to be coming back to you in the next hour of the show, or maybe we'll try and get back to you just after the game gets underway. And you'll be right in the thick of it. Right? You'll do your best to get close to the ball.
I'm going to try and get in. I'd like to touch it again this year. The last two years, I haven't.
Man, if you're age. So, come on. Stop tapping them in.
They're tapping, mate.
The HUD lines, it never leaves you. So, yes, we look forward to that, Andy. So, people can go to Andy Smart on Twitter. If you go and check out
The other one is Shrovetide Live.
That's right. I was about to tell people about that. I've got that in front of me now. Yeah,
he puts up live camera footage of it, so you'll be able to watch. So if you want the mayhem,
follow the carnage of what Andy's about to get involved with. Absolutely mad. Nice one, Andy. We'll catch up with you later. Thanks very much.
Lovely voice. Cheers.
Andy Smart, they're about to play in the Shrovetide Tuesday football. Been a live sport for you afternoon. A couple of things to get you going on. Oh, yeah. The Stars turning Good Samaritan. We've already got one in from Jay. Simon from the Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah, Simon, the bass player.
Oh, yeah,
Simon from the Kaiser Chiefs helped me find my keys under a pool table. A lock-in once. Oh, that's nice. You can only imagine what would have happened. What would people have predicted if he'd not found if he'd not found his keys? So when did the Stars turn Good Samaritan to you? Because we will speak to the Warsaw fan who lost his wallet and then got it back via Alan Kirbishley, former West Ham manager, player, Charlton Athletic, of course. We're also after selfies, but not with people. Rupert Bell's just had a selfie taken with Neptune Collonge, the well-known racehorse, of course, because he's going to come on a little bit later on, talk Grand National, bit of Villa and more. Quinny's sent out a picture today with Frankel, not the real one, the statue.
Lovely, yeah.
So we're looking for selfies, but not with people and the circumstances they were taken in. I mean, it's those odd things where mascots. Do mascots ever speak to you?
They're not allowed.
But if you've got someone inside, if you go to Disneyland with the kids, and suddenly sort of Pluto says, I've only got a couple more hours. I can't wait to have a pint. It's so hot. I wonder if any of the mascots ever said something like that. Because it's a bit like doing panto. You're working the kids and the adults. Yeah. So you can do a bit. You can work from the blue book for the adults, and the kids won't get it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Newcastle fans throughout this week have been anxiously looking at the old doormat, waiting for those tickets to drop through the letterbox.
Mm. Loads of on an app these days, of course.
Well, this I mean, we'll come on to this with our next guest because your dog can't eat your phone, although some dogs, you know what they're like. But that's the thing, it does seem odd, you know, all this new technology. There you are with your old paper tickets for a cup final. But spare a thought.
QR code, Paul. Do you trust the QR code when you get the QR? Is that it? Is that what I've got?
That's my Spurs season ticket is a QR code. So, and a touch of wood, typical. It's always worked so far. Anyway, but paper tickets for the Carabao Cup final. Alan Carling is a Newcastle fan. He got back from the game the other day to find shredded tickets on the doormat. He joins us now. Hi, Alan.
Hey guys, you're right.
Yeah, good. Thanks, not so bad, Alan. So yeah, that was basically you came in. You've who's the offending dog? What sort of dog have you got?
He's called Rudy. He's a golden retriever. He's only 11 months old.
Rudy.
Very much going through a phase where he's chewing everything and everything.
Yeah, they like that.
And when you came in? Did you know straight away that it was the ticket?
Pretty much straight away, yeah. I could see like the green of the ticket, and I could make out Carabao, and
hologram.
You've got to laugh, honestly. You've got to.
Little hologram and his poo.
Yeah.
I didn't quite go Gillian McKeith.
Forensically piece the ticket back together again, having run it under the tap. It's not going to happen, is it, really?
He's not a Sunderland fan, is he, your dog?
Yeah.
Oh wait, I'm questioning his heritage. I got him from somewhere in Wolves End in Newcastle, but I'm starting to think he might have been there over Mackham Land.
Agent Mowbray. Yes, he's the breeder. He's the breeder. So look, you've got a bit of time to get duplicates. Is everything more or less been sorted out or not?
Yeah, so I had a little wait. Obviously, the incident happened on the Saturday, and I had to wait till the box office opened on Monday. But I was first in line. Called them up and explained the situation, and asked us to come down. When I spoke to the lass at the box office, she seemed a little bit bemused. She was a little bit unsure. She was like, you know, it sounds like the biggest cliche in the world saying that my dog's ate it. But then there was a lad in the back office who popped through and says, like, oh, are you the lad with the dog's ate your ticket? He's like, yeah, I've just seen you on Facebook. Actually, he knew all about it, and he was fully understanding. He's managed to sort us out some tickets that I'll be collecting on Sunday.
Well, right. Good stuff.
Did you take the dog down with you?
Yeah.
You tell him.
No, the dog's definitely in the doghouse. He'll not be coming anywhere near. Anywhere with me.
Poor lad.
So, yeah, it does seem odd that it's not a code anymore, isn't it? I mean, they'd probably be anxious for people not to transfer them. It seems weird that you don't get maybe sent a paper ticket and a code as well that you can use.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, being a Newcastle fan, I haven't seen too many cup final tickets. So I would have thought that there might have been like a digital code that we could have sent. But again, you know, when it's coming down to tickets being transferred to other people and stuff like that, they've probably just gone this way. So it is just paper tickets. I was quite surprised at it, but, you know, it's understandable when you think about it.
Most season ticket holders at St James's managed to get a ticket for this game. You get a bigger allocation for League Cup than you do FA Cup, and we've never had any sort of trouble getting League Cup generally, but I don't know how many more season tickets you've got than Tottenham. But have you had many disappointed fans who didn't have enough points, or has everybody more or less got one?
I think the club put out that there was 97% of the tickets for the final did go to season ticket holders. There's obviously some who wanted them, weren't able to get them. Some people didn't qualify. I was one of the lucky ones. I'm not a season ticket holder, so I entered in a ballot. Bearing in mind, I am a member at the club. I've not missed a single game this season. So, you know, I still consider myself very lucky to get one of these tickets. And, you know, it added to the heartache just a little bit more when I saw it all in fact on the floor.
What a nightmare. You realise if you win Sunday, that's it. Yes, the dog has to be every single ticket now. It's going to become lucky.
You're going to have to lay
every
them on
single
the
mat time.
Yeah.
I still don't think I'm going to put myself through this every single week. You know, like I could have done without it. I would have much preferred to have the ticket in my hand, up high on a shelf, out of harm's reach. But I've still got like the nervy kind of trip down to London to pick up my ticket before I'm allowed in. I think only when I've got them tickets in my hand, I'll be happy.
You'll be
alright. What's the dog called? What's his name?
Rudy, wasn't it? Rudy.
He's called Rudy.
Oh, Rudy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
right,
stop.
Okay.
So you always say, stop your messing around.
I thought it might have been. Yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it. Exactly. That's his message. I thought it might have been called Jackie or something like that. Or Bobby. I thought you might have gone.
Oh, Well, tied when we got him. He was, you know, the wife wanted to call him Bruno, but I thought, nah, you know what, he doesn't quite look like a Bruno.
Yeah, Philippe.
Yeah,
Philippe.
Settled for Rudy. Philippe.
David. Yeah.
Yeah. David.
Joel Linton.
Golden Retriever with that long hair, definitely.
Chatting that over the park, Joel Linton.
Joel Linton.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Started out as a rubbish dog, but became a really good one.
Yeah, that's right.
Just shifted his position in the pack.
He did, that's right. That's all he had to do, go slightly further in the pack. So, how are you feeling about the game? Confident?
Well, we've seen a little bit of a downturn in form for Newcastle. And, you know, it's like Manchester United seem to be going in a complete opposite direction. They're very much on the ascendancy. So, you know, I can't say that I'm massively confident of a result. But until Saturday, you know, we were going into games and we weren't losing. Mm. And, you know, it's a good point to make. If you're going into a final and you're not going to lose, there's only going to be one outcome at the end.
Yeah.
But I'm massively hopeful. We've got Bruno Guimarães coming back in, and he does really make us tick. I would hate to say that we're a one-person team, but he really is. He's the linchpin of our team. He links everyone up and everything flows so much more fluidly when he is playing.
I mean, cup final appearances, though, Alan, that's the problem. And every time Newcastle get to Wembley, even going back to that Liverpool game in the 70s, they just don't turn up, really. Strange. It's, we've got to get over that hump first and put in a great, memorable performance, haven't they, really?
They have, yeah. I mean, I can't speak for the fans who managed to see us kind of fall short in the 70s and stuff like that. You know, I was only able to see the FA Cup finals in the late 90s, really. Yeah. But, it, you know, it's far in my memory. I'm only 33. So this really is, you know, this is the time. This is a new, it's a resurgent Newcastle United. And, you know, the feel-good factor has been there all season. It's been absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone's so full of faith and hope. And, you know, the good times are back. Admittedly, we're in a cup final, I think, a little bit too early. For us, I don't think anyone would have expected us to hit a final straight away. But the team have clicked. Eddie Howe's done a fantastic job. He's turned players' careers around. You know, Joel Linton, Miggy Almiron. He's even getting a really good tune out with Sean Longstaff, who, you know, he's an honest lad. He's, you know, he's from North Shields, and he leaves it all out there. Not to mention Dan Byrne. What a guy! What a guy!
Just looking at his trophies won, Eddie Howe's trophies won. He's won the championship in 14-15. That's the only trophy he's ever won. So, an LMA Manager of the Year. LMA Manager of the Year.
If you want to get in the mood on your way down for the game, we had George Colkin on last week, who's put together a special podcast. He interviewed Sir Bobby Robson shortly before his death, and it would have been his 90th birthday, as you know, at the weekend. And I was listening to the first part yesterday. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's good, is it?
It just goes right back to Bobby's youth, talking about working when he first became a player, basically working down the pit like his dad and his uncles had. He was an electrical engineer, and telling the story of what it was like having to work down there. But it's a fascinating listen. If you're looking for something to play, I mean, obviously listen to TalkSport, but if you've got a spare 5 minutes, check out this Bobby 90 podcast. It's like a time capsule. Listening to him speak is
fantastic.
It's absolutely brilliant. It'll get you right in the mood, get you all emotional, I'm sure, before kickoff.
I probably won't need any help to get any more emotional, to be, if I'm going to be completely honest. But it's definitely on my list. Yeah. I have seen it on Spotify, and definitely something that I'll be sitting down to have a good listen to. Because
I'm not even a Newcastle fan. Put a lump in my throat. It's fantastic.
Yeah, great stuff. Good stuff.
Brilliant. Well, look. Have a lovely day, Al. Enjoy the day. You and the family have fun. Give our best to Rudy. And, join the match.
I will do. Thanks very much, lads.
Take care. There we are. So there is the man himself, Alan Carling.
Yeah.
A happy ending to that story.
Sure, it's not still the Carling Cup, Paul. Same, you know,
yeah, it would have been, well, yeah.
Been lovely, wouldn't it? It would have been a lovely little tie-in.
Would have felt that bit more personal.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. We've asked you this afternoon for Tales of the Stars turning Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
We will chat to the Walsall fan who's lost his wallet and had it returned to him by Alan Kirbishley with a little note from Kerbs. Very kind of him. A few people have been in touch. The lad's the man who had his wallet returned by Kerbs. hoping Ian Dowie will return it next time he loses it. If so, he should be careful what he wishes for. Says Stu, up a ladder in Bournemouth. Thank you, Stu.
Dan in Wilmslow, a few months back, saw a loose dog running around on the main road, got out of the car to try and catch it, and as I ran towards the dog, Dion Dublin was running towards me, also trying to catch the dog.
Was it Dion's dog?
I don't know. That we don't know.
Okay.
We
you
don't,
turned
we don't know that bit of the story.
I call you a star, Charlie, but you turned Good Samaritan to another star from the world of writing, didn't you?
I didn't know who it was. I was leaving work here,
yeah,
and someone left also left work with black curly hair.
Yeah.
And I thought I recognised that. I don't know. It wasn't Dr. Robert Winston. I was thinking, who is that? Who is that? He got in the car. As he got in the taxi, his phone fell out under the wheel of the taxi.
You spotted this.
I was like, stop.
Yeah.
Knocked on the window, stop. Got the phone, gave it back to him. And I was like, I recognise this guy. I don't know who it is. I recognise it. It was Stephen Moffat, the writer of Doctor Who.
And you've been in Doctor Who.
I've been in Doctor Who, Paul. I was the fat one.
Times have changed. Hashtag Roald Dahl. Couldn't be called that anymore, could you?
I did ask for a character name, but they said you don't need one. We know who we mean.
You met a grisly end, didn't you? For the
grisly end.
Yeah,
don't spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it for people who might be watching the whole thing back.
No, but people write to me now and again, say, can I have a thing, a signed thing?
Or really?
Send me a photo. I'm an action card.
Can't you go to conventions?
I'm like a top Trump.
You could milk it, couldn't you?
I don't want it.
Doctor Who's Charlie Baker.
I don't want it. They're very, really low level. Wouldn't be a long queue.
There's a game tonight between Concord Rangers and Canvey Island, which is the Canvey Island Derby. I had no idea that Concord were in Canvey Island.
I've been to Concord. I've never been to Canvey Island. I've been to Concord
Rangers.
Well,
you have been to Canvey Island because that's where Concord play.
I've never been to Canvey FC.
Okay, right.
Been to Concord Rangers away. We won 1-0.
There's only two teams in Canvey.
Yeah, but it's great. It was a great little ground.
Yeah.
Really, I had a really good time. Really good social club and everything as well. Sam Besant was playing for him that day. He had an absolutely brilliant game.
Wow. But, what a night of football we got. I don't know if Farnborough in action. I'm guessing not because Andy Smart is in the thick of it at the Upwards and Downers football match, 400 aside, in Ashbourne in Derbyshire. I watched the game start just now. I've been looking at Shrovetide live. The ball went up. Let's cross to Andy now, see if he's anywhere near the ball. Andy, what's happening?
Yeah, the ball went up at 4 minutes past two and it's now tracked up against the wall directly opposite the plinth. A lot of this happens early on in the game where it gets trapped up against an object like a wall or a fence. There's people on top of the wall trying to get the ball up and over and into the housing estate, but it's all a bit of mayhem. A lot of people are obviously very fit still. They haven't got tired yet, so there's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be up against this wall for a good 10-15 minutes.
There's a guy in a yellow top. I can see him. I'm watching the pictures. He's trying to push everybody back so they can get the ball out. But it seems that no one's really listening.
And he's just fallen off the wall now.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. I'm just about to see him. I'm slightly in delay. Off he goes. He's just fallen off.
How physical is it allowed to get, Andy? How physical are they allowed? Are they allowed to get
each other? There are no rules apart from where you're not allowed to play, the areas you're not allowed to play. I think there is one rule that you're not allowed to kill anyone, but some old scores.
That's a new rule, is it?
They've just
brought that in.
The ball's making a break towards me now.
Oh, go on,
fantastic.
Andy. Get it.
Go on, Andy.
Live on air.
See if you can get there.
Live on air.
Can you get any? Can you get closer to the ball? I'm looking for
you. Yeah, I'm going in now.
Go on, Andy. Get in there.
Get right in.
Moving.
I'm trying to look at
Andy. Get that cork ball.
See if I can see him.
I've got my hand up. I've got a blue jumper on.
I don't know if they're following the ball. I think I can see that arm. That telescopic arm. I can see you.
I can't get near the ball. Oh, Downers have got it. I'm moving.
All right, we're off. It's become a leisurely stroll.
Yeah, you can watch this on Shrovetide Live.
Yeah, that's right. I've got it on there now.
No, I'm saying to the listener. That's right. So they know what we're talking about.
Basically, it's like a lot of people leaving a packed football ground.
And yet there's trying to get out of Wembley to that train station.
It looks like everybody queuing for the train at Wembley Park, really. But it's a sport.
I'm about 10 feet away from it now.
Wow. Oh,
right. Okay. Have you had a pancake today at all, Andy?
No. I'm looking forward to that. Later I'm having one. I'm staying at Callow Hall, which is a lovely... I'm staying in a treehouse there, and they've promised me a pancake if I touch the ball.
Not a phrase you... No. Yeah, I'm staying in a treehouse, and I'm not going to touch the ball. Oh, what's happening?
In we go. Heath! Go on, lads.
She's on to get the ball. You're getting too old for this, Andy. You're 61 years old, mate.
There's my hand. I'm about 5 foot from the ball. Man down.
Drama in the extreme, as our old friend Nigel used to say.
Back off. Oh, I've got my jacket.
There we are.
You're on my jacket.
Back off.
Someone's down.
Okay, let's hope they're all okay. Andy, we'll come back to you
later.
Why
is no one at work when I watch this? I always think...
This is Andy Smart. They're live.
Oh, someone's shoe just gone in the tree.
Oh yeah,
someone's shoe's just gone in the tree.
Back to you later, Andy. Thanks very much.
All right, yeah.
Unbelievable. Visual. Oh, the humanity. But you can't kill anybody, so that's good news.
Why is no one at work there, Paul? Yeah. Is it a day off for that? Are they? Is that?
I was in Battersea High Street many years ago, and it started raining like a biblical shower. A young northern lad said, "Here, pal, stand under this umbrella." I turned round, and it was Gary Barlow.
Oh, wowee.
Out of Take That.
Look, whatever he said, whatever he did, he didn't mean it.
Well, he clearly did, because he let him go under his brolly. And he was recording nearby and had popped out for some snacks. Says Terry the Super Hoop.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, this sounds like the plot of a Hollywood movie in itself. Triathlete,
yeah.
Entering races to win the prize money that allows her to keep optioning one of the most famous war novels of all time. A passion project to remake All Quiet on the Western Front.
Amazing.
Years and years of rejection from different people and studios, but still keep reoptioning, which costs an absolute fortune, $10,000-$15,000 grand every year or so. Keeps entering triathlons to do that, partly to do that. And in the end, they get the film made. It's a box office smash. Yeah. It's a Netflix smash, of course. And picks up 7 BAFTAs and is up for an Oscar as well. So, that's all true. And Leslie Patterson joins us now. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, good. Very good.
What an inspiration for
anybody
else out there who has a passion project like you, whether it's in film or anything else, to stick at it. Look, there's no guarantees, and for everybody like you that finally gets the film made and it all works out, there's others that it doesn't, but inspiring stuff. But that was, I've kind of summed up your story, didn't I? I would think.
Yeah, I think I should just go home now. No, it's been, honestly, it's been a crazy journey, but I think at the heart of it all is staying true to your passion and your why, and never giving up on that, and that being the driving force. And, you know, I did that in my sporting career, and, you know, I've now done that in my film career. And I think probably the biggest thing that I've learned in all of this is if you focus on the process and not on the outcome, then everything is a success. Mm. Even, do you know what I mean? Because you know, you can't control the outcome,
yeah,
but you can control the excellence of your craft, whatever that might be.
That's a very good point. You co-wrote the script. The film is fantastic. I watched it over Christmas, not the traditional Christmas fare, but I thought it's an amazing film. And I was a big fan of the original film and indeed the book, read it years ago. And it's in German. I mean, I take it the script was written in English. Did it need much adaptation apart from just a straight translation?
No, well, you know, how it started, obviously, is my partner, Ian Stokel, and I, my writing partner at the time, we, you know, optioned that material, right, 16 years ago, and then we did a ton of research and then adapted it into a screenplay. You know, that took us a solid 18 months to 2 years to kind of figure out how we wanted to do it, what our approach was, because the book is... It's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, poetic book, told from the other side, of course, told from the German perspective. But, you know, we felt we needed to not update it is the wrong word, but sort of see it through our lens that we now sit, because when the novel was written, of course, it predated World War II. So we wanted to put some kind of historical context in it. And so, you know, if you haven't watched the film already, then, and I know you guys have, but there's a storyline in there about the armistice, the reparations that Germany had to pay, the last 6 hours of the war, elements like that that we put into it. And then, of course, went on this crazy journey and finally found the perfect guy in Edward Berger, who... Mm. had read our script along with Malte Gruner, our wonderful producer, and you know they really loved our script. And then Ed really wanted to do a pass on the script himself and infuse it with that German sensibility, because it's such a national treasure to them. Mm. So what he did is he took some elements of the book and put it back in and just refined that German sensibility. You know, that you can really, you can feel that authenticity in the film. Mm. And that was obviously incredibly critical. So it was a real wonderful collaboration with Ed. And then of course it was translated too, but given the fact that he is a co-writer and a director, it's sort of perfect, because here's this, you know, visionary that knows exactly how they see the film, also you know, having a hand in writing it as well. Yeah. So, you know, just an honor, to be honest, to work with someone of that talent.
The original title of the book is Nothing New in the West, isn't it? Which, and All Quiet on the Western Front seems a more romantic, poetic title. And I think you've managed to avoid romanticising that period of history.
Well, it is
very brutal.
Film.
Did you have to wind it back at all, or did you always say more and more?
You know what? The book is actually even more brutal in terms of, you know, what it reveals, what it talks about, in terms of the devastation, the death, the destruction. So, you know, even although ours is brutal, it's actually dialed back from the book. But one of the most important aspects that Edward really dug into was the fact that, you know, he comes from a country, Germany, that is filled with shame about, the previous wars. And so what was critical was that this was not a story about a hero. It was not about an adventure. You know, and that betrayal of the youthful generation, the patriotism with which they went into the war, and then they were just, you know, shocked and devastated. So all of those aspects were really important. But, you know, I will say this, I think the beauty of the film, well, there's many reasons for this, of course, amazing frickin' crew that came together. But the fact that there's an outside-in perspective from Ian and I, coming from another country and reading the book and appreciating it from the outside, and then the inside-out perspective that Ed brought of authenticity and the German message. So, maybe that's why it strikes a chord to the wider masses.
Congratulations on the BAFTA the other night for adapted screenplay. You got the Oscars next, and I know you've got some other projects. And this took, I mean, at one point Daniel Radcliffe was on board, but you couldn't get the money. It was going to be made from a British perspective at that stage, but didn't get made. And there's so many stories along the way of it nearly getting made and not. But I would imagine doors will open now, won't they? It should be a bit easier to get the meetings.
Totally. Well, I think the most important thing here is that yeah, as you say, the door is open. You just have to make sure that you have a lot of other stuff, because it's always what's next. So now I write and produce with my husband, Simon, and we have about 8 different projects in development, from TV to features to projects in Scotland, one in Ireland, one in Africa, you know, across the board. So you know, so that when you get in the room, because you get the meeting, you get in the room, and you have to sell yourself, you have to sell your projects, and maybe they want to bring you on as a writer on one of their projects. So it's a very relational business. And so that's where I think, you know, my sporting background and Simon's background in psychology really helps, because it tells anyone that we want to work with, hey, listen, these guys have the goods. They've proved themselves in another industry. They have the dedication and the wherewithal, and they have hopefully the intellect that, you know, we want to work with them. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, look, we wish you well at the Oscars, Leslie. It's a fantastic film. It's a great story. Are you any more triathlons for you, or have you retired officially now?
Well, do you know what? My dad asked me last night, but it's in your soul. Do you know what I mean? I love to get out there. You know, especially I love a good race out in the hills in Scotland. So I don't think I'll ever give that up. And I'm not one of those people that draws a line in the sand, because what if I just want to jump into a race? You know, I don't want to then.
Be good old studio boss, wouldn't it? Saying, well, look, we'd like to make this film. And you could say, they don't know your background. Well, I'll race you around the block to see who wins. I'll swim the other side of that pond.
Let me tell you, I've done that many a time, and it's a wonderful way to get to know these top guys. You know, when you get out in the bike and you drop them, then they're like, oh, maybe I'll listen to
it. Fantastic.
Good to talk to you, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
Congratulations. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, lads. All right, cheers, bye.
Leslie Patterson there, co-writer of All Quiet on the Western Front. As was the original, as is the book, it is brutal stuff. Well, it's about the First World War, but it's brilliantly shot and very powerful and recommended.
Just the insanity and the waste of it all just comes through. At the end, when you know, we're close to the armistice, and he says, we've still got time for one more.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and you sort of go, oh. Gosh.
It's powerful stuff.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, a celebrity combination lock. Adam, we're going to ask you to play
huge,
that.
Adam, it's huge.
It's a very simple game. Let's just give you the intro first, and then we'll explain the rules.
Welcome to Celebrity Combination Lock with your hosts, Paul Hawksby and lock keeper, Charlie Baker.
Yes, here we go then. Another celebrity.
Don't knock the lock, Paul.
Don't we knock?
The lock.
The lock, yeah. It's very simple. Our assistant producer, Jamie, has got some fetid gym kit in a locker.
Oh,
he can't take it out. It's oozing out the side of the locker. He can't remember the combination. He went out, got ailed up after he'd set a new combination. Now can't open it.
Can't do it.
So we need to get into it for him, because people are it's a health and safety hazard.
Yeah.
So they've all played it, Adam. Tommy Walsh off Ground Force, Kel Spellman, City supporting actor, Martin Afire, John Richardson, Al Murray, Rob Orton, Lloyd Griffith, Chesney Hawks off The One and Only, Bob Mortimer, Ray Bradshaw, John Ketley, Josh Widdicombe, and Sue Pollard.
Sue Pollard, of course.
To name just a few.
Level.
All you have to do, Adam, is tell us the four numbers that will hopefully open the lock. We can give you a clue. We had three numbers.
I know what this is. I know the clue.
He's been playing.
I pay very careful attention. I'm just wondering, what do I get if I open it? Like, what is it? Well,
we
why is it in my interest
yet.
To help
we,
you?
We haven't worked that
we,
out.
We thought, because it was celebrity based, we didn't really have a prize lined up.
Just you can go, I opened the lock. Add it to your list of achievements.
Kudos.
Adam.
Kudos to
you. I don't know whether that's enough for me to give you these more.
A TalkSport hat. Do you want the TalkSport hat?
I'll have a TalkSport hat. Yeah,
talk sport hat.
A talk sport goodie bag.
Yeah, goodie bag. There
we'll
we are.
Find
there
you
we are.
You can wear that on the podcast.
Lovely stuff.
So we need. Do you not need to know the three numbers and the three that are in the
paid attention.
0336.
He says he doesn't need it. He's paid attention. Paul.
Wow. Okay.
Don't knock the lock.
Let's try then. So, give us your four numbers, Adam.
It's 0306.
Let's have a go then. Let's find out what the numbers were. That
Adam. Zero.
0306. There we are, just putting those in now. Is that the combination?
Yes! 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 He's opened the stinks! The kit stinks! Go!
The lock's open. There it is. Well done. You have paid attention, Adam.
Wow, Adam. Congratulations.
Adam Rowe.
There's some bloke who emails us every week and he's
saying, I know it.
It's 03061. Has anybody get it right? What's wrong with you people?
It's open. The lock. I was beginning to think it wouldn't open, Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
We've been to
people you've seen off Sue Pollard. There's a claim to fame. Although she didn't know what the heck was going on when she came in and played it.
0306 was the lock.
Well, congratulations. It's
there we are.
So there is no cash prize. There's no prize.
A TalkSport goodie bag. So yeah, our producer will put that together.
Yeah, we'll put that together. Together for you,
and
Adam.
Send that to you. I'm sure.
I mean, you could say this is the end of the series, but I think we just set a new combination.
New combination.
Jamie goes out, gets held up again, sets a new combination,
what a
forgets
nightmare
what it is,
for him. Locks his bike up. No, oh no,
that's it.
He can't get anywhere.
As long as I get to go like 27th next time as well, so that I've got all the information.
Now maybe you start next time. That's a nice idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Get you back on, Adam, and you start. Kick us off next time.
That's a good idea.
Starting for the second leg of the Real Madrid.
Of your prize.
Yeah. Well, look, congratulations. Have a word podcast goes from strength to strength as you do big live shows and everything.
Magic.
Yeah, things are doing well. I've got a stand-up special that went out a couple of weeks ago on YouTube called Imperious, but I'm releasing another one this Friday. It's called Adam Rowe Juicy, and that goes out on the Have a Word pod channel. So if you're into your stand-up, Imperious is already there, and Friday this week, brand new special.
Nice one. Cheers, Adam. Congratulations.
Brilliant,
thanks
well
very
done.
Much.
There Cheers,
we are. Adam Rowe's done it.
6 months that combination's lasted, Paul.
6 months.
That stinking kit's been in there 6 months.
Oh, it's disgusting. Ugh, it's not worth it. Just throw it away. It. Don't wash it. It's not worth washing.
It'll ruin the other rest of your washing.
Yeah, it would do. It.
Because that nylon, it
even
holds
you can't
the...
put it in just on its own. You're just going to have to throw it away.
It holds the stink, the
It's
nylon.
A nice vintage Watford shirt, but it started to rot. Not nice.
What a nightmare for him.
So anyway, what will we bring it back with a new combination?
Yeah,
we'll have a break, shall we? A couple of weeks break.
Okay,
and then
like
we'll come back with a new series.
Okay.
No, you always have to have a couple of weeks off. The host goes to Torremolinos or whatever, and then we go again with a new...
Perhaps we'll pilot a couple of other things in the next couple of weeks.
New combination, same rules.
Don't need to play it next week. We'll play it when you come back. Yeah,
okay, you
want to
do a couple of pilots, do you?
A couple of
on-air pilots.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Well, there we are. The lock has been opened by comedian and Liverpool fan. And maybe that's a good omen ahead of tonight's game against Real Madrid.
Celebrity combination.
So that was the end of that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We will go back to Andy. Yes, okay. Andy Smart, who's playing in the upwards and downwards game. We'll check in with him. We've got thousands of texts coming.
Also, I asked for the last goal people scored.
Yeah, that's right.
You didn't want to see that, did you?
Well, no,
Paul?
It wasn't that.
That interesting.
We've got 60 or 70, and they're all quite long. And they're all quite long. So if
right,
you want
well,
to spend
right,
the next
I'll
three quarters
one.
Of an hour reading out, give us your favourite,
Nick
Charlie.
Kipri, last goal I scored was first game back after breaking my foot. Ran, switched the ball from the right to the left winger, ran the length of the pitch to get on the end of his cross to score. Well done, Nick. You never know when it's going to be your last one, Paul.
Yeah, now that is very true.
Spanking a volley from a corner, Scholes-esque, but arguably better. This is Ryan in Norfolk. 5 minutes later, busted my knee and awaiting an MRI. I'm 37. That could literally be my last competitive goal. Great way to finish
it's true.
Your career.
It would be, wouldn't it?
You've
got to look at every moment in life as if it could be your last
exactly,
goal. That is very true.
And that's the lesson I was trying to teach with that text topic.
That's true. Savour every moment, savour every goal.
Don't treat anything. Don't save anything for best, Paul.
No.
Just wear it. Wear the nice perfume, Paul. Use the nice crockery.
Really?
Yes.
But what happens
what are you
then,
saving it
what
for?
What happens if you do stick around and you need something for best?
No, you don't need anything for best. Do you? It's good. Just, you're fine. You've got the nice stuff.
Is that how you live your life?
Yeah, you've got to go for it. Go get it, Paul.
Is that... It's fantastic.
Go get it.
I'd love to see you doing your TED Talks.
Charlie
Baker Go Get It TED. You become some sort of
some
guru. It'd
be lovely, wouldn't it?
I could see you as a guru, Charlie.
Yeah.
You're a right chancer.
Don't save anything for best.
Yeah.
There we
you
are.
Could pull it off because you are a right chancer.
Really
I could
good,
see
good,
you
I
there,
really
couldn't you?
Pull the wool over. How do you think
Charlie
I've got this
Baker,
job?
Charlie Baker signing copies of his new book, Go Get It.
Yeah.
The Charlie Baker philosophy.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. Baker's Dozen, the
Grab
top
it.
12 tips.
Yeah.
Top 12
13,
tips.
13, of course.
Well,
Baker's
I know.
Dozen.
But you'd make it 12 because...
Yeah, 14, I'd make it.
14. 14, that's right.
Go in the extra mile with Charlie Baker.
So look out for that. I've given Charlie an idea. He won't be here long. He'll be on that circuit.
Millions, they make. Millions.
He'll be on that circuit. So, throughout the afternoon, Andy Smart once again has been playing in the Shrovetide Tuesday football in Ashbourne in Derbyshire. He's played every year. He's been playing for hundreds and hundreds of years. 400 aside, the upwards versus the downwards, depending on which direction you live in. It's normally a low-scoring affair. Let's see if there's been any scoring as yet. Where is the ball? Close to the hug. Close to the bug. Where it, the bug. The hug where it's all going on. Andy Smart. Good afternoon again, Andy.
Afternoon, boys. You actually caught me in the pub. I was just ordering.
I've had to run out.
I've had to run out. It's still in the car park. It's actually moved 50 yards from where it started over the last.
Sounds like the first half of Tottenham West Ham on Sunday. Dear me.
And I'll tell you what, I wish some of them had worn their best perfumes in that hug.
They definitely saved it for best, yeah. Does it? It must get a bit acrid in there, I would imagine, with all these sweaty bodies fighting for the ball.
And when it was stationary over by one of the trees on the way to the fish ponds, and the hug was so tight that the ball's up. It's back down again.
Okay. That passes for excitement.
I mean, he could be just standing in the pub at the bar. Oh yeah, the ball's up.
No.
It's down again.
It's down.
Ball scratchings, please.
Yeah. Cheek. I've been in three times. I still haven't touched the ball. It did come out very close to me, and I turned to get hold of it, some bloke just hoofed it along the floor, and I missed the opportunity. But it's the Uffords have got the ball, and they're desperately trying to get it in the fish pond, but the Downers keep surging back across the car park, which is very good push from Downers this year. They haven't let the Uffords control it as much as they normally do, and especially I think the new plinth being further up the car park has helped the Downers this year. So hello, it's coming this way.
You still got your pint in your hand, be careful, don't get
I left it in the bar.
Has it got near the water? It goes near the water sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're very keen to get it in the fish pond. The Uffords love that. Hello, that's I'm amazing. Right in the middle now. I'm right in the hug now. And it's very sweaty. It was behind me the whole time.
Behind you. It's banter. Oh.
Well, Andy, I was in a false hug.
Is that what goes on? Yeah, we've all been in a false hug. That's one way of putting it. We've been in a false hug for years. So, Andy, finally, if you're a betting man, what do you think the final score is going to be?
I think I reckon 1-0 to Uppards. Unfortunately, they've got the push on again. They're desperate to get it back. They're at least into the river. I'll post pictures of any goal scorers tonight.
Fantastic.
Although I have got a meal booked at Callow Hall for 7:45.
Okay, well, you can't stick around. We can't expect too much. At Andy CSP, if you want to follow him on Twitter, or Shrovetide Live. They've got live footage. Hello. It's a great commentary style, isn't it? Be good in the football.
Something's happening.
If Jim Proudfoot or Dance or anything, just suddenly the ball goes out the other end, they go, hello.
I wasn't expecting that. I turned round to walk back to the bar, and suddenly the ball flew past my ear.
Well, let's hope your pint's still there when you get back. Cheers, Andy. We'll catch up with you soon.
Cheers,
thanks
boys.
A lot. All the best.
Thanks.
There we are. There's Andy Smart, who's been reporting live sport for you this afternoon, the upwards and downers in Ashbourne, where it's all a bit fetid and acrid in the hug, force or otherwise.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. The lock has been broke.
Can you believe it? It's open. 0306.
That's right. That's what it was, in case you were wondering.
We'll lock it back up again in a couple of weeks'
time.
Yeah,
we'll come back in a second. Again. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, it wasn't the end of it, was it?
Exactly.
It's just the start of the journey.
Now we've got one series under our belt.
Yeah, it was just the end of a difficult first series. We'll try and get with respect to people who've played it maybe a lower class of celebrity.
Exactly. We're never going to get a bigger star than Super.
We've got to start scraping that barrel.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.